75 years ago, in a makeshift studio in Bristol, Tennessee, three members of a family from Poor Valley, Virginia, made some records. The Carter family and the music they made would become the basis for American country, folk, and bluegrass music.
I hear a low, faint voice that says, Papa and Mama's dead. And it comes from the poor orphan child that must be clothed and thin.
The Carter family performed Poor Orphan Child for New York record scout Ralph Peer, who had gone to Bristol to record what he called hillbilly music. Peer was among the first in the fledgling recording industry to realize there was an audience hungry for all kinds of new sounds. Mark Zwanitzer is co-author of Will You Miss Me When I'm Gone, a new biography of the Carter family. He says Peer went to Bristol to record Pop Stoneman of the Stoneman family. He also placed a local newspaper ad looking for other performers to record.
A man named A.P. Carter, who lived not far away in Macy Springs, Virginia, saw that ad.
And A.P. had been playing music with his family.
Yeah, A.P.'s wife, Sarah, had a beautiful, absolutely beautiful voice. I mean, she was a beautiful woman, and she could really sing. I mean, people were absolutely knocked out by her. And Sarah's cousin, Maybelle, who had married A.P.'s brother, Eck, was already, even at the age of 18, a guitar virtuoso. I mean, she had already developed her own style called the Carter Scratch, where she could play both the melody and the rhythm on the guitar. It was like having two instruments in one.
What did they record?
Well, the first song they ever did was a song called Bury Me Under the Weeping Willow Tree. And they did six in total that day, and Mr. Peer was absolutely captivated by Sarah's voice.
Oh, bury me under the weeping willow, yes, under the weeping willow tree, so he may know where I am sleeping, and perhaps he will weep over me.
It was somewhat remarkable that a woman would carry the vocals in a group like this that came out of the hill country and old-timey music. But he recognized her as something special that very day.
Now, that's interesting that he would recognize what he had there.
You know, there were almost a dozen other groups that Peer recorded in Bristol that day that he put out first on record. So I'm not sure he saw that this was going to be the one that, you know, made his name and made his fortune. I think what happened was the audience found it, and it was a hit. And the first big hit was a song that Sarah did solo called Single Girl, Married Girl.
Single girl, single girl, she's going dressed fine. Oh, she's going dressed fine. Married girl, married girl, she wears just any kind. Oh, she wears just any kind.
Sarah was the voice. Maybelle was the real musician. AP mm-hmm. sang some bass, but he was the manager and the song catcher.
He was something of an impresario. And AP was, you know, Mr. Peer was recording them about two times a year, and they would do 12 and 15 or more songs in each recording. Now, that's a lot of songs, and their repertoire simply wasn't that big. So AP was going in ever-widening loops in those mountains looking for new songs. And he he hauled up a lot of them. So there were times when he was out hunting songs, and Sarah really was left at home with the kids with not much to make do.
She was also very lonely.
Their marriage was a strained one, and part of the strain was the demands of the music business. And Sarah ended up, while AP was away, falling in love with a cousin of AP's who lived in the valley at the time.
But it didn't break up the act right away.
No, as a matter of fact, even after Sarah and AP separated, as difficult as their personal lives may have gotten, they continued recording. And in some ways, I guess I would say those difficulties really added something to the music.
Classics, Wildwood Flower, Keep on the Sunny Side.
Uh-huh. Keep on the Sunny Side, Will the Circle Be Unbroken. Some that are not quite so well known, but I think are fabulous. When the World's on Fire is an old gospel song, it really from the African American church that Blind Willie Davis had done as Rock of Ages. And Woody Guthrie would take that melody and use it as his sort of anthem to inclusion. This land is your land.
Oh, loving mother,
when the world's on fire. Don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rocks of ages. Rocks of ages will for me.
Why were they successful? What chord did they strike with the record-buying public?
You know, I think they really cut down into their best recordings. This sense that country people had that somehow out in the middle of nowhere they were forgotten and didn't quite matter. And I think what the Carters' appeal was that they really spoke to those folks.
It was in 1943 that Sarah finally bailed out of this act.
Yeah, they did one final radio tour in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then she went to California. She'd always sort of craved a more normal life. The recording industry was a hard business and a demanding one, and she actually didn't like being out front and being a celebrity.
But Maybelle was charged. She went on, and there was a second Carter family.
Yeah, Maybelle couldn't stop performing, and Maybelle's husband, Eck, was anxious for Maybelle and his daughters, June and Helen and Anita, to get out on the road and carry on the family name, and they did a fine job of it, too. They were really, really terrific.
So Maybelle and the girls have a career. Sarah is off with her new husband. It's AP who's the sad figure in this.
He's somewhat of a sad figure at the end of his life in 1960. When he died, he was somewhat forgotten. The Carter family records really weren't out in circulation much anymore. There were a number of aficionados, of course, who knew him, but the larger world sort of forgot AP. It's funny, though. AP was a man of enormous faith, and he always thought people would come back and remember him. I mean, he demanded that his tombstone be different from any other in the Mount Vernon Cemetery. That was one of his last requests. And what he said was, you know, people are going to come back here and they're going to want to see where the Carter family came from. People did. You know, people do to this day. And it's a handsome tombstone, I'll tell you that, too.
And it says?
It says, keep on the sunny side.
Mark Swanitzer, co-author with Charles Hirschberg of Will You Miss Me When I'm Gone? Carter Family and Their Legacy in American Music. Tomorrow on Morning Edition, the 1952 music anthology that launched a huge folk revival.